coming Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. from 3 in the afternoon Central Time on November 2nd through 3 in the afternoon Central on November 3rd. Issues Etc. 24, Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd. Listen live at issuesetc.org.
But the American people should know this. In a changing world, my commitment to protecting religious liberty is and always will be unwavering.
It shouldn't take a church and church groups and colleges in America to have to sue their federal government to protect their religious liberties.
The feminist movement is dependent on abortion and daycare. Those are the two things that remove children or babies from the equation so that we can achieve this faux version of equality.
Shall the Father have compassion upon Nineveh? Jesus' death says yes, yes, 1,000 times and forever yes.
I think that if Issues Etc. was going to be a Navy vessel, it would be a nuclear-powered theological aircraft carrier.
If you listen to the world, and this is often the accusation that the world makes against the church, is that the church thinks that sex is a necessary evil, or even just an outright evil. That's what the world will tell you, that this is what Christians think about sex. They're repressed, and they have a problem with sex. And I don't know what the church has done to gain that reputation, because the church has not been saying that. I don't think the church has ever said, not seriously, that sex is a necessary evil. In fact, the church has been saying that sex is good. Well, the world says sex is good, too. Does that mean the two agree? The church agrees with the world that sex is good, or vice versa? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Monday afternoon, October the 1st. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about sex with Pastor George Borghardt here in the first half hour of Issues Etc. A little bit later, we'll do a sermon review. Pastor David Peterson preached an excellent sermon recently at a St. Michael's Liturgical Conference in Detroit, Michigan, on Jesus raising the widow's son from the dead, Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse 11. We'll review that sermon. And then an hour two of Issues Etc., Pastor Tom Baker will join us. We'll go into the Old Testament for a Sunday school lesson, talking about Deborah the prophetess in Judges chapters 4 and 5. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Pastor George Borghardt is a regular guest. He's pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in McHenry, Illinois, and he's author of an article in the latest Higher Things magazine titled That. George, welcome back.
How's it going?
When the world says that sex is good, and the church says, and it always has said, that sex is good, what's the difference between those two?
Well, the world is saying, and I believe that we could use a little bit of restraint. You're killing me. Use that word like 18 times in the intro, and I'm not going to use it once. It's the S word. So we'll see if I can get by without using it. When the world says that is good, okay, they mean the act of doing that, and that's fun, and it brings people closer together. That sells a lot of stuff. The world's a big fan of that. When the church makes reference to that, we're talking about that which goes on between a man and a woman who are in the state of marriage. That within marriage is holy and pure, because it gives us a picture of the relationship between Christ and his bride, the church. And so when the church speaks of that being good, we mean that within marriage, the holiest state which God has given for that to occur. When the world speaks of that, it's like animals, like on the Discovery Channel. It's for procreation, it's for entertainment, it's for selling things, it's for music videos. There's a big difference between when the church speaks and makes reference to holy that, and when the world speaks about what it enjoys about the act of that.
Okay, so take us back to where the church really gets its position on sex, which is that sex is good, from the creation, and from the creation of sex.
Sure. And I'm not trying to be a prude. I think that that's everywhere. I think that we have gotten in the church. We could use a little restraint whenever we're defending ourselves in the world, and we're pushing ourselves forward, and we're saying, "Hey, we're cool. Hey, we're comfortable with talking about that. Hey, we're okay with discussing these things. Look how comfortable we are with this. Look at, I mean, we're running after the wrong acceptance. We should be chaste and decent in our language. We should be." Careful in the way we speak, that we lead no one astray. I firmly believe that the more we sort of we're stuck in the '60s, where the more open we can be with that talk, the more cool we can be. And if we just get that talk out in the open, the underlying that stuff, then we'll be more open and open minded. That talk in the scriptures occurs in creation. We're talking Genesis 2 and Genesis 1. He gave, be fruitful and multiply. That's that. And he gave man woman. He created woman out of the side of man. We say from a rib, but it's really out of the side of man. He out comes woman, and then he presents the woman to the man, and then the man gives a poem, "A man shall leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and the two become one flesh." That isn't unity candle. It's not, "I love you, I love you, you just complete me." That's not that. That in the scriptures is the two become one flesh, and that is located, centered upon, grounded in marriage at the beginning of it, marriage at the end of it, and marriage all in between. That and marriage go together in the scriptures. And so one flesh, that's that. No talk of that outside of the holy estate of marriage in the scriptures. That's foreign to the scriptures. That's the way the world thinks of that. In fact, I would dare say that part of the sort of fruit of evolution is the treating of that simply as something that two people who love each other do, or for procreation's sake. No connection to Creator, no connection to marriage at all, because there's no need to, because we all just come from animals, and that is part of the natural process in which we evolve. You remove evolution from there, and you have a Creator who creates man and creates woman. Well, then all of a sudden, that has a certain place where it belongs, and that is marriage.
What happens when sin enters the picture to the entire situation?
Well, you've got Adam and you've got Eve at the end of two, and you've got a good creation, not just a good creation, a very good creation. She looks at him and she's like, "I love you," and he looks at her and he's like, "I love you," and they're happy. They're naked, and they have no sin, they have no lust, they have no anything. They have each other. And they have a Lord that speaks to them. And he speaks to them, pre-incarnate Christ. In fact, the first thing that Adam sees is his Lord. He opens his eyes, and there breathing the breath of life into him is pre-incarnate Jesus. And he speaks to them, and he gives them all these gifts. All this is yours, except for that tree. You eat from that tree the knowledge of good and evil, and you will surely die. Well, they listen to the serpent rather than the Lord Jesus. They take their ears off the external word. They live the way they want to live, and everything, like a shock wave, is corrupted by the fall. They realize that they're naked, and they hide. They start covering themselves with fig leaves. We've been trying to cover ourselves ever since. Cover ourselves from God and cover ourselves from one another. The perfect communion between God and men breaks down. The perfect love between man and woman breaks down. He throws her underneath the bus, that woman, the one you gave me. He throws God under the bus, who created him. Everything breaks down. And they're booted from paradise, and from then on, it's man versus woman, woman versus man, and man using women, and women using men. And the woman loves her husband, and he's got nothing but jerkness back for her. He works hard, and yet he dies. Death, sin, fall, misuse of that, all flow from the disobedience of Adam and Eve in the garden.
And what does that... That's what breaks everything, including their marriage.
Yep.
And it also breaks the sexual relationship. Does that give birth to the world's way of thinking? Right? Do we see it given birth to right
there? Oh, yeah, I think so. I mean, that's fun. Who's not going to agree with that? Whoops, misuse of that. But I mean, and that becomes something that we just do. I mean, it's only a few chapters in Genesis between the sons of man and the sons of God messing around, and then we have Noah and his mistakes, and Abraham, and he's worried about his wife being taken from him, and Judah and what he does, Tamar. It goes from a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife in chapter 2 to something that if a new Christian's reading Genesis, it's like, oh my goodness, this is rated R. Everybody's messing around with everything. And all of this consequence of the fall, where we lose that is given specifically for marriage. And that relationship between man and woman is a picture of a relationship between Christ and his bride, the church. You notice, when you want to talk about Jesus, you don't want to talk about that. We just don't. Suddenly, that gets gone. When we're talking about Jesus and his death for us on the cross, all of a sudden, all that sort of stuff about that and doing that and where that belongs and where that doesn't belong gets lost. Because Jesus' talk is the way marriage should be. A man gives his life for his bride. He gives his life for her. He dies for her. He gives his mother away on the cross. A man shall leave his mother, father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two become one flesh. And what he does for her is that he gives his life for her. And that's not him using her or him abusing her or him taking something that isn't his or him going to some place that doesn't belong to him. It's him showing love. This is how a husband loves a wife. And this is how a wife loves a husband. She receives him giving up his life for her. And all of the talk of that in a place where that doesn't belong ends at the Jesus point.
Pastor George Borgard is our guest. We're talking about sex. It's Monday afternoon, October the 1st. We're coming to you live. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or send us a tweet at issuesetc. Why are moralism, mysticism, and speculation enemies of the Christian faith? Find out with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, Broken, 7 Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break as Often as Possible. It's written by regular guest Pastor Jonathan Fisk. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can pre-order Broken by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Broken, 7 Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break as Often as Possible.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as his baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at issuesetc.org and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Now we talk about sex on the radio and video shows.
Many will know
anything goes. Let's tell it like it is and how it could be. How it was and of course how it should be. Those who think it's dirty have a choice. Pick up the needle, press pause, or turn the radio off. Will that stop us, Pat?
I doubt it.
All right then, come on, spin.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor George Borgard is our guest. We're talking about sex on this Monday afternoon. It's October the 1st. A little bit later, a sermon review, a sermon preached by Pastor David Peterson on Luke chapter 7, Jesus healing the widow's son, and then an hour or two of issues, etc. Pastor Tom Baker will join us to teach a Sunday school lesson. We'll go back to Judges chapters 4 and 5 to talk about Deborah the prophetess. Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel in hour 2 of issues, etc. George, now the solution, you've touched upon this several times already in our conversation, the solution that a lot of people see, and mostly kind of the big box megachurch pastors who are trying to do exactly what you described at the very beginning. They're trying to out-hip the world in their conversations about these things. They'll have put a bed on the top of their church and stay there for 24 hours with their wife, and then they'll kick off a sermon series on sex, and they do a lot of frank talk, and they keep the bed up on the stage while both pastor and wife, you know, talk about these things. And they even encouraged, I think it was one pastor down in Ed Young down in Dallas, Texas, who said 30 days of sex every day. That's what he didn't mandate it, but he strongly suggested it for every couple in his congregation. Now, why isn't that the solution?
Oh, it's what the world does. I mean, it's running after the world. We get all excited about it because, ooh, we're talking about naughty things in church, you know, and in this sort of 60s mentality of, hey, let's get it all out there, and, you know, that's open-minded, and that's the way we should go. A different thing. A chaste and decent life in what we say and do is what the meaning of the commandment is. And so the answer is not, let's get it all out there and let's talk about it. That's just horny after the world. That talk leads to more that. It simply does. I mean, we don't dwell upon hatred and how much we hate somebody in order to get better at our hatred. We don't gossip in order to get better at our gossip, yet we think if we're going to talk about that, it's going to get better. We're going to get better at that, at stopping that. Oh, we will get better at that, but we'll get better at stopping that. No, the answer is Christ. That's the answer Paul uses. You were bought with a price. That was what Paul says. Paul doesn't put the bed on the altar. He doesn't talk about 30 days of that. Or, are you sure it's not 40? Because all the libs like to, the contemporary folks like to do 40.
I don't remember. I mean, I think he downsized it. Second year he did it to 1 week because it was a flop the first time.
It's a marathon. Anyway, when Paul wants to address this topic, he doesn't do a 40 or a 30 days of that or 7 days. He doesn't bring his wife up or whatever. He says, you were bought with a price. The price is the life of the Son of God. He gave his life for you. He honored God with his body. He was chaste and decent in all that he said and did. He was holy and pure, and his holiness is your holiness. His righteousness is your righteousness. His chasteness is your chasteness before the Father and before each other. And so honor God with your body, with your members. See, that's the way Paul deals with it. That's the way the church should deal with it, too. There's the husband dying for his wife. That's what marriage is. That's what it is all about. It's not all about, hey, let's have fun. Paul does say the place for that is marriage. If you're burning with passion for someone, you should think about marriage, no matter what time of your life it is. If you're in college and you're single and you're thinking, well, I need to get out of college in order to be in a stable sort of life. No, if you're burning with passion for someone, you should be talking about marriage. Marriage is the place for that. But that's secondary to the cross. Marriage gives us a picture of the cross of Christ and Christ's life given for us. There's a husband. There's a sort of husband I want to be. There's a sort of man I want to be. And the bride, she, at the foot of the cross, receiving that gift, him dying for her, that's the sort of wife I want to be. And if we've crossed some lines along the way, guilt is not the way of going about it. Oh, well, I'll never do that again. Or I'm going to take on a monk lifestyle. No, run to the forgiveness of sins achieved by Jesus and his holiness. Receive it and then live for him underneath the cross in your baptism, in the Word, in the sacrament. Live in those gifts, which will strengthen your faith in order to live a life for Him.
There's, short of all that you've just described there, that is, someone who has taken sex from its proper place outside and brought it outside of marriage in whatever way they have, young kid in college, whatever it is. Short of that, there are a lot of ways that we find justify this. Short of confessing it, we'll say,
oh, yeah.
we'll say, you know, we were really in love, or we are really in love.
Correct.
Or we are going to get married. We think we're going to get married. So, you know, what's the difference? What are your pastoral thoughts there?
Well, I was just thinking of a proverb while I was, you don't have hot coals in your lap and not get burned. That's about this subject. All the different things we use, and this is the reason why it's a failure of the church while we're running after the world. Hey, look at us. Look at how we're open we are. The failure is look at how what the world has done to us. It used to be if you lived with someone or you engaged in that before marriage, it was a slam dunk discipline. The pastor put you on discipline and everybody understood what was going on. Now, a pastor does that, and oh my goodness gracious, what are you doing? Don't you understand that these are young people? Don't you get it? Don't you understand? We have moved the line toward the world, being more understanding and more open-minded to what's going on. Do young people or old people or anyone burn with passion? Yes. Is there justification for it? No. There's not justification for hatred or murder or slander or gossip or despising God's word. There's no justification for that. We wouldn't hold up any sort of excuse before God for that. There's no sixth commandment justification. There's only sin and repentance. I've sinned. Lord, help me. Lord, save me. Lord, forgive me. And so let's not make excuses for our sins. Let's instead confess our sins to God, to one another, to our pastor. Let's bring our sins to the Lord's Supper. Let's bring our sins to the Word and receive the forgiveness from the one who is faithful and just, the Lamb of God slain for those who are not faithful. See, it's interesting that whenever the Old Testament prophets want to talk about the first commandment on faithfulness to God, they love to talk about what other commandment, Todd?
Adultery.
The sixth commandment. Because when we're unfaithful to each other, it shows how unfaithful we are to God. It just does. It's the best living example. The marriage between Christ and his bride breaks down, and we can see it in our lives in a breaking down of the sixth commandment. Again, the hope, the salvation, the forgiveness is located in Christ, not in our change of behavior or our commitment to be like monks or our commitment to do better. The place where we're going to find hope and salvation is in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus, we're rescued from our sins of the sixth commandment and the first commandment. In Jesus, we find our hope and our life in the one who is truly and completely faithful.
So speak finally to that young person who says, you know, I got myself my abstinence ring, I made my resolution, I did all those things that I was going to save myself for marriage, and then I didn't. And so what all the abstinence teachers out there, almost all of them, as good as abstinence is, are telling me, or at least what I'm taking away from it is, I'm ruined for life. I'm damaged goods, and this will never be, for me, the way it promised to be, even when I get marriage. What's your answer to that?
The Lord looks at his bride with all her unfaithfulness. He looks at her bride and all the times that she has run after other gods and all the times in which she has won and run and lived for herself. And he looks at her and he says, "Holy, pure, mine." And he dresses her in white robes, blood-stained white in Revelation, robes dipped in blood. He dresses her and then he says, "Pure." The forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus is and the cleansing waters of our baptism are the only thing which truly make us pure. The abstinence stuff is good in the sense that it makes us aware of this, but it's law, And law ends in law. Law ends in guilt. Law ends in despair. And so you're abstinent until you find somebody who you're really close to, and then you fall off the wagon. No. Find your forgiveness. Find your virginity in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's unlosable, and it lasts for all eternity because it rests on His blood.
Pastor George Borghardt is pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in McHenry, Illinois, and he's author of an article in the latest Higher Things magazine titled That. You can read this article and find out more about this Lutheran youth organization, Higher Things, at our website, issuesetc.org. George, thanks for being our guest.
Hey, thanks a ton for having me.
When we come back, we're going to be doing a little sermon review here in the second half hour of the program. The sermon we're going to be reviewing, a sermon preached by Pastor David Peterson on Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse 11. It's that familiar story of Jesus healing a widow's son. Jesus stops the woman's crying, and he stops the funeral. And by the time he's done, there's no reason for a funeral. Yet sorrow and sadness over death continue even after that. This resurrection, as great as it is not yet the final answer to death. Jesus has that in his resurrection. We'll hear that when we do our sermon review, Pastor David Peterson, right after this.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
What is the biggest misconception about the worship wars? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Behind the Music, The Real Worship War. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The latest journal also contains Hisham Chihab's article, From Muslim Extremist to Follower of Jesus. Subscribe to the online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Pastor Todd, I downloaded your Issues Etc. app for my Android phone, and I listen to it while I'm on the treadmill.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live or on demand with the new Issues Etc. Android or iPhone app. You can download these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. Download an app today.
My new Adam really enjoys the app while I'm on the treadmill.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Zion Lutheran, Muscoota, Illinois. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Grace Lutheran, Auburn, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Pleasant Plains, Illinois. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word, Rochester Hills, Michigan, Zion Lutheran, Laramie, Wyoming, Redeemer Lutheran, Seymour, Indiana, Zion Lutheran, East Moline, Illinois, and Peace Lutheran, South St. Louis County. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.